everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Baranchek. We're here to talk about our column, which we'll be posting Tuesday morning, going over the videotape of the Packers 27-22 loss to the New York Giants in London. Eric, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How was the trip?
I'm a tired old guy right now, I can tell you that. It was a lot of time on airplanes, but it was pretty neat to be in London. And if you want, we can talk about it later. But the atmosphere at the game was great. It was really festive. It was electric. The media seats were actually in the stands. It wasn't an enclosed press box. And it was a lot like being – there's been some games over the last 30 years where the Packers fans have taken over visiting stadiums. You know, I can think of Seattle back in the 90s, Tampa Bay. You know, more recently there have been games where – you know, like at the Chargers a couple of years ago, where that was almost all Packers fans. So it had that vibe, with the addition that all the stuff they did, you know, the music they played, the chants and all that over the loudspeakers, it was all stuff that they play at Lambeau. So it kind of had that Green Bay game feeling also, the game in at Lambeau. So, but it was electric. It was a really good atmosphere. So anyway, let's get to the game. Big collapse by the Packers, both sides of the ball in the second half. And, you know, on defense, it's, you know, they're playing against a team that was missing, what, four wide receivers and a quarterback who's been really up and down and came in with an ankle sprain. What's going on?
Don't forget, they're short a couple of linemen, too.
So. Yeah. What's going on with all these crossers the Packers are giving up? Is there a way to explain that so someone such as me or the people listening can understand why teams are completing these crossers on the Packers? Some, a lot of them on third downs that keep drives alive.
Well, if you remember back to week one against Minnesota, you saw Justin Jefferson go nuts and kind of catch the ball kind of in the same part of the field every time and wide, completely wide open. So what happens is it's kind of a variation from the old Ohio, it's called Ohio route grouping. So you have one wide receiver. So a lot of times it's run on with receivers that are like in a twin set or on the same side of the football. And the outside receiver will run a vertical route. So basically run straight downfield and maybe break that off into a post. So that's going to take the free safety or the middle safety and the cornerback with it. There should be somebody there in the flat. So defensively speaking, for coverages, you're going to leave some spot open, and typically it's a flat either on the weak side or the strong side. In this case, it's weak side, and it's happening continually. Where there's not really any flat is from the boundary or from the out of bounds to about the numbers on the field. That would be, if you had to call it a flat, that's where it is. So what's happening is the vertical receiver is running a straight vertical, and then they're running a crosser from the other side of the formation all the way across, and the Packers aren't carrying that receiver. And they're getting to the flat, and like you saw on Sunday a couple of times and weeks previous to this several times, where there's guys wide open in that particular spot, and it goes for a big gain. You know, on the one that sticks out is the Barkley catch, where after the catch was made, you know, 26 Savage comes running up and gets juked on it's a pretty good play. The offensive guy made the troublesome for the Packers, and they got to get it fixed. In my opinion, they need to do more to get after the quarterback. They need to do more bump and run type of defense where the defender is playing closer to the line of scrimmage and getting his hands on receivers rather than the soft, cushiony, patty cake type zone coverage that they just continually march out there with every single week.
So if so let's say they're running one of these crossers. So the receiver on the one side runs the go route. He takes the corner and the safety with them. So then there's kind of an open area there. But if they're playing zone, is it the linebacker supposed to take a deeper drop then and not worry so much about the flat? Because all these catches are, what, 12 to 20 yards downfield, right?
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at it. When you look at what coverage that they're in, if they're in, like, for instance, this seems to be happening in cover three a lot. There is not anybody that's supposed to be there. That's the one spot on the field that they are leaving open because they have you can't cover every spot if you're going to send four guys. So you got to kind of roll the dice, and they found a spot in the Packers secondary that's continually happened. And, you know, you got a rookie out there that's making a lot of the same mistakes over and over and over again. And at some point in time, he's going to have to learn that he can't make mistakes. Yes, you can't make the same mistakes over and over because teams are going to do one of two things. When you make, they are going to capitalize on it, and they're going to run at you like they are doing right now, and they're going to run this same play continually until you, and the Packers have proven this far that they just can't.
So either you have to get to the quarterback fast, or they're going to complete that pass most of the time. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
You can, or you can run. It's exactly what it sounds like, exactly the way it is. And the only way to stop that is to change your coverage. Is if you play a cover four, that cornerback should probably be there. If you're going to play cover four, so that means you have two corners and the two safeties are playing, each have a quarter of the field. So if you cut the defense into four spots, those guys are going to be going deep to try and make sure that they are not in fourth of the field. That's 25 yards downfield. But if there's nothing showing deep, either the safety will take over that route and the cornerback will come up, or that those linebackers have got to fly out of there and they got to get to the flat. Now on the Saquon Barkley one, that was a pretty good design because the tight end started upfield and then, like, he was going to run a vertical and then turned it into like a really skinny post. So he was running the seam. That's a tough play because, against when you have, as a linebacker, you're taught you got to run with that guy. And in a cover three, that safety is going to come up and take him after he gets to a certain spot. Or if he catches the ball, they're going to loosen his teeth up a little bit. So, the reality is the linebackers have got to be more sound in what they're doing in their pass drops.
Yeah. LaFleur even mentioned, I was still flying back, but reading some of the quotes on Twitter, he even mentioned something about that they have to be better at passing guys off. And I suspect that's one of the plays that he was talking about, was that Walker's got to, be there to have the guy passed off onto him. Because those are backbreaking plays. I mean, that's costing this team games. And after we talked, I actually it came to me, last year in the Super Bowl, the Rams were, Burrow was having a pretty good game against the Rams in the first half, and in the second half, their defensive coordinator came up. He made an in-game adjustment and started blitzing one of their inside linebackers, and he blitzed him a lot. And they sacked the guy six times in the second half, had three or four more hits on him besides that. And, that basically was one of the differences in the game, was that they made this in-game adjustment. I'm just wondering whether, if Joe Barry has the flexibility in his scheme, in the way he views the scheme. The Rams run the same scheme as the Packers. Is he willing to make that kind of adjustment, or will Matt LaFleur push him to? I mean, I know we can't see the future. I don't know if you think that's likely, that they'll start doing some of the things you're talking about, blitzing, slot corners, blitzing the two inside linebackers in the A-gap, things like that.
I think they're going to have to, but whether or not they choose to is completely, I don't understand it. Because one of the things that, when I'm looking at this football team, I mean, they got two pretty good guys on the outside. They can run man-to-man on the outside when have a safety deep or two safeties deep and still be pretty good. I just don't know why they don't have the stomach to do it. I know that they're like a 20-yard pass is like sacrilege to those guys. You're going to give some of those up, but if you keep doing what you're doing now and let people chunk it down the field 20, 15, 20, 30 yards a clip. It's just the same thing. It just is a slower death. So, you know, I look at this. So you had receivers that were subpar. They weren't their first stringers. They had an offensive line that was missing some folks, and they had a quarterback with a bum wheel. I don't understand why they didn't heat this quarterback up. Why? I mean, with Quay Walker, you saw it last week against the Patriots blitzing him quite a bit. Now, maybe that was some of it because they saw something there that they really liked. But I don't understand it. I don't understand why you would not want to try to get that quarterback heated up. And then maybe if you got to play on the, you know, man-to-man on the outsides, that's okay. I mean, I would take my chances with 23 and 21 all day, all week long, and be done with it. Let it happen. They're going to get beat on occasion, but I think more times than not, quarterbacks are going to throw the ball up. There's going to be interceptions. There's going to be opportunities for big plays, turnover plays that aren't happening right now. So if they continue to do what they are right now, I mean, a high school coach can play against that defense right now. They're good, but they're not fundamentally sound in the passing game, and they're just sitting there and just tackling things, and they need to be take the game to the offense and dictate to the offense and not the other way around.
So switching to the other side of the ball, they really abandoned the run. It was funny, even in the first half when they were putting up points. Now, granted, they had a final two-minute possession that was almost all passes. But they were, I think their passing ratio was at going into halftime was like 20 pass to run ratio was like 20 passes and 12 runs or 14 runs, something like that, which I remember even watching the game at the time feeling like this is a little off. But in the second half, they stopped running the ball completely, didn't have a lot of possessions, but they had that 1-3 and out, three straight passes in the fourth quarter. Do you think, I'm wondering, is this enough to really pound home to, I mean, it's the coach and quarterback, it's their offense. They're the ones running the whole show. Do you think this helps them realize that they've got to run the ball and be a running team and be a pound and ground team, even though they have one of the all-time great throwers at quarterback, because they just don't have the receiving core to be the kind of team that they have been for the last decade?
Yeah, I think we all kind of thought that coming in, and I understand. I mean, you got, you know, back-to-back MVP quarterback, phenomenal quarterback, and does a lot of really amazing things with the football and his feet. But the reality is this: the team, they don't have the weapons on the outside to get the job done. You saw passes on Sunday, and routine passes that happen continually with Devontae Adams last year or years prior, where he'd throw the ball, he'd throw these back shoulder passes or throw it up a little bit short so they got to come back. One of two things happens: either they catch the ball or it's defensive pass interference. And you saw Lazard, he's just not that guy. And he's supposed to be their number one run receiver. And then you got, you know, other receivers that haven't been in the league long enough to know what's going on. And, you know, Cobb, you know, good for him. How many weeks can he handle that type of load without getting injured? And he's going to be on the injury report every week and be out. You know, I think they need to understand that this is what they are. They're a running football team. They got an offensive line that they do a lot of power gap running. They still do some zone stuff, but they're very good run blockers, and they have two above average, or, you know, Aaron Jones is a top 10 running back. You pair him up with Dylan, and you got yourself a pretty good 1-2 punch there. And they need to understand that they need to do that and pound the ball. And when they did hit, they even ran the ball well with eight guys in the box. Continually run the football. The play action pass, it will open up, but it's going to open up if all you're going to do is stand back there and chuck it. Then they're going to stop it. And it's unfortunate that that's where they're at, but the quarterback and that head coach have got to understand that this is where we're at, and this is what they have to do. And if they want to try to force a square peg in a round hole, good luck. You're going to have a lot more games like you saw Sunday than games that go the other way.
You know, it's funny you mentioned when we were talking, when we talked on the phone hours ago, you talked about that Cleveland is a team to look at for a kind of a little bit of a model, or, you know, the run pass. And they've thrown, I think it's, they've run the ball 180 times and either thrown or gotten sacked 167, 166, somewhere in there. So they're over 50% run. And they have two really good backs in Chubbs and why am I blanking on the other running back, the guy from Kansas City?
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. Thank you. And so they have two really good backs. And, you know, and I thought, yeah, that's a good comparison. But I thought, you know, God, I looked up their record. They're 2-3. And I'm like, oh, man. So, you know, is this really that a good an example you want to bring up? But then I look, they rank number 5 in the NFL in scoring. So, and they have Jacoby Brissett, you know, who's, you know, what, probably the 25th best quarterback in the league, you know, I mean, and they're, and if they're ranked 5th in scoring, it tells you that it can, it at least has a chance to work in this league. And especially if you have Rodgers as your quarterback, then on those plays where you do throw it, you got a better chance of capitalizing. So I thought that was an interesting comparison. I guess we'll see over the, you know, over the next few weeks, whether we, you know, they stick with the approach that they used at Tampa a couple weeks ago, or I mean, against New England last week, or if they play more like they, you know, did and end up losing games like they did against, against the Giants. Looks like time is about up, Eric. So I think we're going to have to sign off here. But I want to thank everybody for joining us. For Eric, I'm Pete. This has been the After Further Review podcast.